Hello, and welcome to Quick Hits, a podcast brought to you by Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. I'm your host, Phil Gursky, president of Borealis. It is the 31st of March, 2020, the last day of March of this year, and sort of the first week of spring, although with everything to do with the coronavirus and the shutdowns and the lockdowns and the economic displacement, it doesn't feel like spring. It's a gray day here in Ottawa, hovering just below zero. So while there are sunnier days ahead of us, it's looking pretty bleak right now. And I have to admit, this is another podcast on coronavirus and its links to extremism. For those of you who follow me on my website, you know that I've written a little bit about the role of religion in COVID-19, the responses, good, bad, and indifferent. And I want to pick up on this theme once again because this does involve what, in my mind, is clearly a case of religious extremism. Again, I have focused most of my attention over the past 20 years on a particular brand of religious extremism, i.e. jihadism or Islamist extremism. But with the publication of my last book last year, When Religions Kill, I looked at how other religions can in fact be used by nefarious actors to justify acts of violence. It's not just Muslims. There are Jewish extremists, there are Hindu extremists, there are Christian extremists, there are Sikh extremists, and yes, there are Buddhist extremists, as odd as that may sound to most people. What I have found in following the news over the past couple weeks with respect to how societies and individuals are responding to coronavirus, how they are responding to the need to isolate, to stay away from people if you're sick, to self-quarantine if you've been traveling and return to your country, most people are doing okay. Speaking from a Canadian perspective, it seems that so far most Canadians have responded well. We're listening to scientists. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, deserves a lot of credit in this regard. He has repeated the message frequently, often, that we will follow the best advice given to us by science and health professionals, and that they're the one who are going to tell us the best practices to put forward. That's not the case in a lot of countries. It certainly is the case here in Canada. And Canadians, so far, have adjusted fairly well to this particular phenomenon. What disturbs me and what worries me is that in many other places, however, we are seeing a very negative and potentially very dangerous reaction to coronavirus by religious officials, be they priests, be they rabbis, be they monks or whatever. One of the lead stories in today's Globe and Mail from 31st of March is how it says, keeping the faith, how places of worship have adapted to coronavirus as Passover, Easter, and Ramadan approach. And there's an acknowledgement that religions are about people getting together. They're people who happen to share a belief system, who want to celebrate their faith, and they want to celebrate it together. That's why we have Christian masses. That's why we have Jewish services. This is why we have Friday prayers in Islam, etc., etc. And yet, given that the best advice we can get from the aforementioned scientists and healthcare professionals is that we shouldn't gather in large numbers, at least for the time being, until the crisis is over, we still see a lot of instances around the world where this advice is not being followed. And here's just a couple examples I found just this morning in looking at what's happening around the world. So in Israel, let's start there, with the ultra-Orthodox, the Haredim, those who tremble in the face of God, are testing at least three times higher, in some cases more, than average Israelis when it comes to coronavirus. One in three people in the ultra-Orthodox community of B'nai B'rith have been confirmed to have the coronavirus. So 34% of residents there have it, in comparison with 6% in Tel Aviv and 10% in Jerusalem. And it goes on. There's a story from the New York Times. Ultra-Orthodox Jews are failing to comply with government instructions to contain the coronavirus and are thereby causing it to spread so quickly that Israeli officials are considering blockading entire communities to protect the wider population. It goes on that the mushrooming of the virus in these ultra-Orthodox communities could be as far as 4 to 8 times faster than elsewhere. And we're getting messages from very respected Jewish religious leaders, such as the following. Some rabbis are saying that they suspect the state wants to secularize them. And they said that, you know, it's prayer and Torah study that matters right now, because that'll rescue us from the virus. There is a rabbi in Israel who appeared in a video in early March in which he rejected the closing of schools, saying that to do so was, quote, more dangerous than leaving them open. And the problem with people like this is that they are seen as leaders. They are seen as prophets, and people are listening to them. Another person, a religious instructor, has said that he's going to carry the shofar, which is their ram's horn, normally played only on the Jewish New Year, saying, this is guarding me. How is any of this helpful? It's not just Jewish. There's an article in today's Washington Post about Jerry Falwell Jr. We all know who Jerry Falwell is, who, against the advice of everyone, has decided to reopen, or at least partially, the Christian Fundamentalist Liberty University. So let's gather people together. He said, well, young people don't get the virus, therefore they should come back to school. Mr. Falwell also went on Fox News and said that the coronavirus may very well have been the work of the North Korean military. And when it comes to Islam, we're seeing, again, some people making some unhelpful comments. I'm not talking about terrorist groups, but, you know, the Hajj is coming up later on this summer. This is the great annual event where millions of people descend on Saudi Arabia to perform their religious obligation under Islamic law. Is Saudi Arabia going to cancel the Hajj? If not, are they going to limit it? These are all really, really good questions. To me, each of these instances is a clear indication of religious extremism. No, it's not violent religious extremism, but it is nonetheless extremist and it is religious in nature. I spent my career looking at actors who are religious, who claim to be speaking for God, on behalf of God, or who believe that what they're doing is sanctioned by God, and they have carried out heinous acts of violence. Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, Hindu extremists in India, Jewish extremists in Israel, Christian extremists in the United States. This is another form of extremism. And God forbid, no pun intended, it will not turn violent at some point. I don't think it will. I don't predict the future. I don't have a crystal ball. But I'm having a hard time going to these, you know, typical dystopian futures where you know, we've all seen the movies, or at least I've seen a lot of them. It tends to be something I watch an awful lot of, whereby the end of the world is nigh and you get these pockets of fringe religious groups that become ultra-Orthodox, ultra-conservative, ultra-extremist, and in some cases violent. I'm not going down that road because I don't think we have to. But I do think that as societies, we have to call these people out. We have to say what you're advocating is wrong. This is not the way to treat coronavirus. What I'm not advocating is that people abandon religion. I don't happen to be a particularly religious person, but I'm not telling anyone to abandon their faith. If your faith is what helps get you through this right now, then by all means practice it. By all means share it, but share it in a wise and in a justified manner, not getting together with a whole bunch of people in a synagogue or a church or a mosque. That's not the way to do things. That's spreading the virus. That's not keeping clamps on it. This is not the ideal way to worship. I get that. I've read accounts where in several Eastern Orthodox churches in Russia and other parts of Eastern Europe where they take communion on a spoon, that people are reluctant to change their ways. This is going to spread the virus. You have to adapt to the circumstances as they are. You can't just make things up because we've always done it that way. We're not in a time where doing things the old way is going to work anymore. So I want to leave you with this. If you take solace in your religious belief, in your creator, and he or she or it or whatever it is helps get you through these times, I'm very, very happy for you. But please do not subject your beliefs on other people. And more importantly, do not try to justify actions and practices that are going to make things worse. It's already bad enough. And everyone's talking about physical isolation, which is a much better term than social isolation, by the way. We have to do these things wisely. That's what scientists are telling us and healthcare professionals are telling us, to try to nip this thing in the bud so it's not as bad as it could be. That's what I want to leave you with. I hope I haven't insulted anybody who happens to be religious in nature. I don't think I have. But if you want to take issue with what I've said, get back to me. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @BorealisSaves, or find me on LinkedIn or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to all the content that I put out on my website. Just go to www.borealisthreatenrisk.com, find the subscribe button, hit it, fill in your information, and you'll get all the content free of charge to your inbox in a daily digest. I'd love to hear what you think of the podcast and the blogs. Love to get your feedback, as well as any ideas for future podcasts and blogs on the whole issue of national security and violent extremism. I'll talk to you again soon. Until then, stay safe.